This episode of the Walk On Mentality podcast is brought to you by Goodwill Provisions. Are you ready to take your health and wellness journey to the next level? If so, look no further than Goodwill Provisions, your partner in holistic, athletic nutrition. Goodwill believes that true well-being encompasses more than just physical fitness. It's about nurturing your mind, body, and soul to achieve peak human performance. Their provisions range from the mushroom-powered Dawn Patrol superfoods, which go perfect in your morning coffee or post-workout smoothie, to whey protein, creatine, and even CoQ10 to help you stay focused and energized throughout the day. As part of the Walk On Mentality community, you get an exclusive perk. Head over to goodwillprovisions.com to explore their offerings and treat yourself to a healthier journey. Use code MENTALITY at checkout and you'll unlock a fantastic 15% off your order. Thanks for supporting the podcast, and I can't wait to hear what you think about the supplements. Remember, no limits. Are you tired of feeling like your clothes are too tight, uncomfortable, or never your size? What about feeling like you never have the right apparel for the various occasions that you're doing on a month-to-month basis? At the end of the day, you look good, you feel good, and you feel good, you play good. And that's in every area of your life. And if that resonates with you, look no further. I'd like to introduce you to the Roan Commuter Collection. Roan's Commuter Collection is flexible and breathable. There's a product for every occasion. Mobility is everything, and it makes looking good easy. Not to mention, with Gold Fusion anti-odor technology, you never have to worry about your pits reeking. If any of that resonated with you, then my friend, you are in the right place. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday and straight into whatever comes next. So head to roan.com/mentality and use promo code MENTALITY to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to rhone.com/mentality and use code MENTALITY. It's time to find your office comfort. If you're like me, you like to train hard. And if you train hard, it's incredibly important that you take the time to prioritize rest and recovery so that you can come back better. And one of the ways I set myself up to come back better is by rocking the Kane Revive. The Kane Revive is designed to stimulate recovery from the ground up, created for moments of athletic transition, made to support and renew the feet before and after workouts. Kane is made with Bounce Back Foam, a breakthrough biofoam created from sustainable Brazilian sugar cane. The shoes are odor and bacteria resistant, quick drying, and ultra durable. They were developed in partnership with Dr. Daniel Geller, an authority in the treatment of foot and ankle injuries in elite runners, cyclists, and triathletes. Head to the link in the show notes to support the Walk On Mentality podcast and get yourself a pair. Come back better. What's up, Walk On Mentality family? This is your host, Jackson Mitchell, and we are back with another episode of the Walk On Mentality podcast. This week in the studio, I have the pleasure of sitting across from the man himself, Mr. Ryan Husband. Ryan, thank you for joining me, brother.
Yeah, bro. Glad to be here.
Glad to be sitting across from you. I want to kick it off by asking, what does it mean to you to live prescribed?
Yeah, bro. So I actually just put a post on my Instagram the other day, so I'll try not to quote it word for word, but for me, it kind of has a different orientation each day. But for me, it's just working as hard as I possibly can to be the best version of myself that I can be every single day, no matter what I'm doing. That's in my faith. That's in my relationship with my wife. That's in my work, in my fitness, whatever it is, my relationships and friendships. I just want to be the best that I can be, no matter what, and show up every single day trying to pursue that.
When did the idea and this like kind of this different view on life emerge within you of this like, I want to live prescribed and be the absolute best version of myself in every single category? Like, when did that become what you do?
Yeah, man. So I feel like live prescribed for me over the past, I started my business 6 years ago, LRX, and it's changed in different seasons of life. It's given a different perspective. The cool thing about the brand name LRX and Live Prescribed is that it's able to change and mold to whatever it is that you're really focusing on pursuing. But when I was a sophomore in college, I was struggling with anxiety and depression. I was actually suicidal. My grandma had passed away. My parents got divorced. I was in a relationship. It came to an end. I quit college athletics and all of that stuff came tumbling down. And I realized that for me, my identity was so wrapped up into who I was as an athlete at the time that when I lost that, I lost a sense of myself and I lost a sense of my identity, realizing that everything else was happening at the same time, losing college athletics, losing athletics in general. I needed to kind of redefine myself and find out who I was. And for me, it was my faith. To me, really, the prescription for life and what it means to live prescribed and its like core root is just pursue my faith and living in line with God's prescription for life. And I was living outside of that. My identity was really wrapped up into a lot of different things. And when I came to the understanding that, you know, the prescription for life is living in line with God's prescription for you, whether that, whatever your purpose is, whatever that is, for you, what he's called you to, that brings so much more joy and fulfillment. So I wanted to create this message that would help other people really understand what that meant and to help them align with their life's prescription, whether they're, you know, a Christian or a believer or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter specifically. I just want to help them live a higher quality of life. So I started thinking about this idea of, you know, what it would mean to start a brand and share that message of live prescribed. And that's kind of where it started.
I love that. Do you have the Bible app by chance?
Yeah.
Did you happen to see what today's verse of the day is?
I did not.
So it's 1 Peter 4:10, which says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So I think it's pretty on point.
Yeah, dude.
And I love that. And it brings up my next question, which is like, you know, this all occurred, you said your junior year in college.
Sophomore year.
So, you know, if we go all the way back to even just you growing up, was faith part of your childhood? You know, what were the conditions like for which you were raised in terms of faith and just everything else in general? Obviously, you were an athlete, which is typically a great thing because it teaches you things like discipline and how to manage your time and work ethics, et cetera. But, you know, what was your background like just coming up as a kid?
Yeah, so I was baptized Catholic when I was super young. On my mom's side of the family, my very devout Catholics, you know, my mom grew up in private school, going to private Catholic school. And then when I was about 10 years old, my mom and dad started taking us to a like non-denominational like Baptist church. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really started to kind of start planting the seed of what my relationship with God would look like. My mom actually became a Christian around that time. And not until I was 16 years old did I actually really walk into a relationship with Jesus. My mom actually led me to Jesus, accepted Jesus into my heart. It was after, you know, working through a lot of personal things and struggles, temptation, stuff like that. And, you know, my mom was like, you know, that this is something that you can be forgiven for. And I asked God for forgiveness and actually asked in my heart when I was 16 years old. And that's when everything kind of changed for me in terms of what my perspective on life looked like. I was always a good kid growing up, didn't get into anything crazy. My parents raised me really well just to have good manners and just to treat people with respect. And then just different things around, you know, alcohol, drugs, sex, stuff like that. And so I was always had that goodness in my heart of trying to do the right thing. But then when I actually accepted Jesus, my heart was, I was 16 years old. So I always say that I'm like a first generation Christian. My mom grew up going to a Catholic church, but didn't really believe, like come into a relationship with God truly and intimately until a little bit later on in life. So I got the pleasure of her sharing the gospel with me and really bringing that into my life. And then that changing my life for the good. So after that, really dove deep into my relationship with God. And I feel like the season and trial that I went through right before starting my business was kind of like the first real big mountain that God was asking me to climb in my life.
That's amazing. And so if we get more into like that specifically, so your identity is tied up in being an athlete. And I think you mentioned this, but you played soccer, right?
Yep.
So, you know, playing soccer, identity is very much tied up in that, go through some hardships, you know, lose your grandmother. And so you left soccer at that point as well.
Yeah, sophomore year of college is when I quit soccer.
So,
but I played my whole entire life, and the goal was actually to play professionally, but it was just kind of like lost interest, and kind of I feel like had a lot of, you know, fears regarding my potential at that point in my life, and just wasn't wanting to do it anymore.
Yeah, so you left soccer due to what you think now, like retroactively looking back, was a fear of success almost.
Yeah, for sure, man. I was talking to my wife about this recently, and I definitely think it was a fear of success. And the other things that were going on around me were like opportunities for the excuse to get out, really.
Yeah, that's what do you think of that? I mean, I think it's so interesting because I, you know, you hear the two different camps of like, oh, some people have a fear of failure. Like they don't want to go for it because they're scared if they fail, how it might be perceived by XYZ individual, whatever it may be. But then you have the opposite side of like the fear of success. And is that from the standpoint of like, well, I think I am actually worthy and good enough to achieve X goal, but maybe I don't, maybe it is that I actually don't think I'm worthy of that success. Like, I think I have that in me, but I don't actually think I deserve to experience that abundance. Like, what do you make of that fear, I guess, is the question.
So I think the fear of success isn't like, it's not about like whether I'm worthy or not of success. I think it's more so about pursuing my absolute best in anything and then failing. It's about the falling short aspect. It's about the what if of the action of working my hardest and then actually not achieving it. So if I don't actually put the work in or the effort in or follow it through, then I have the excuse of I could have, right? But if I actually pursue it and then fail, then I have to say that I failed. But I think over time, my mindset has shifted and kind of reframed to understanding, you know, like, you know, failure is first attempt in learning. It's the opportunity, right? It's not a roadblock. It's the opportunity to learn and then grow and then lead to the next step. You know, and that's so typical what people say today on social media and what we hear in like motivational speeches and stories. But like, I think a lot of times when we look at fear, fear is just about, you know, what other people may think or the fact of stating that I actually did fail. So that's why we don't try, is because we're afraid that we have to say that we failed, even in the best effort that we've given.
And so kind of on that same thought, it's like, you don't want to tell somebody else. Is it because you're too concerned with their opinion as well? Like, really what I'm trying to get to is like, you know, at what point did you realize that none of that really even mattered? And like the accolades, the business success, the sports success, like no matter what type of worldly success you achieve, like none of it really matters. Like, when did you realize that?
I feel like that's a constant, like a consistent aspect of learning and refining, right? Like there's more things over time that I shed away from things, like from believing that they actually truly matter. And the thing that it comes down to is that if you believe wholeheartedly that the only reason that we're here is to serve, love, and impact others and pass on knowledge to other people, then there's nothing else that matters. Then your work is just to create better opportunities and environments for more people in the world, and then more people in the future of the world that we're living in right now, and to make the world better when we walk away from it. So I think like, if you, we always in our like, you know, fleshly, quote unquote, fleshly moments, we get caught up in, oh, this matters. This is actually going to make a difference, or people are going to think of me in a different way because of this. Then it actually provokes this like narcissistic perspective that like what you do is more inflated and better than what somebody else is doing. And like your life is more important than somebody else's life, when really the action or the opportunity is really just to focus on making the world better. And then everything else falls into place.
That's beautifully put. And this morning in my men's group, I can't remember who said it, but somebody said something to the effect of like, just do everything out of love, like everything. And that's kind of like a failure proof way to go about living your life, is to just do everything out of love.
100%. Yeah, man. I think like, I run into these situations a lot in my life where I'll almost get, if I have somebody that I'm like in a friendship or relationship with, or a coworker or like an employee, I'll look at the situation and sometimes I'll get a little bit like caught up in the fact that like I'm working harder than so-and-so, and kind of feel like, why are you not working as hard as me right now? Right. When I might be good at one thing and they might be 10 times better at another thing than me, and I'm so focused on what I'm doing that I'm not actually understanding that they're bringing something to the table as well that I might be missing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the aspect of like listening and understanding, and then like feeling your situations and environments to know that the people around you are actually going to bring life to you in ways that you didn't realize. And if you're so caught up in what you're doing, then you're not going to be able to see what they're doing and bring to the table as well.
Man, I'm, again, like beautifully put, and I'm curious, how much has, you know, building and growing LRX over the past 6 years, How much have you learned in that process, and how much awareness have you gained for things like you just mentioned? You know, would you say that, this is actually kind of a silly question, but how different would you say you are today as a business owner, as a leader within your business, as compared to you were when you had, you know, hired your very first employee?
Yeah. So when I first started my company, I started it with hardly any knowledge of like how to grow a company. The only thing that I really had was I had a heartbeat and a mission that I wanted to carry out. But then as you start building a company and you're building on like heartbeat and mission, you get, you know, people around you that are, you're watching people that are building businesses, and you're like, okay, this, and there's a lot of transactions that happen, right? Whether that's marketing, whether that's sales, whether that's raising capital or building a product or building relationships with your suppliers, manufacturers, whatever it is, right? We start building a business, and I almost feel like the further you get into it, the more hardened you get to, sometimes you get a little bit hardened to the relationships around you. Mm-hmm. Because you watch people walk through seasons of life where you might have somebody that works for you for a period of time, and then you raise them up and they go do something else. But it's, you invested so much time and energy into that individual, and then you watch them go, and then they go to a different place. So after being in business for 6 years, I feel like in the middle of building the company, really for the past couple of years, my heart began to become hardened to just the relationships that are closest to me and around me. And I thought that when I lost somebody, I'm like, what are they doing? I thought it was a reflection of me. If somebody like transitioned out of being involved in the company. So this was, and a mixture of other things, whether that's like people that supported the brand, you know, whether that's, you know, gym owners that we worked with or relationships that we've had and different transitions and seasons. And what I'm getting at is, people are going, as people transition and move into different things that they're doing, you become hardened. And what I've realized recently is that I'm starting to be reignited with my original purpose and intention that I started the company with. And it's 10 times better and 10 times more fulfilling than being stuck in the middle ground of like, this is a transaction and focusing on the numbers and business. And one of the biggest things that I felt like I got caught up in the middle of it was that I got into some situations where I got into debt with a business, and I had to start paying back debt. So I was really stressed on finances. So then my head was down looking at, you know, all of these things that I needed to do and all these decisions that I needed to make as it regarded to finances, that I forgot about the relationship side of things and the community side of things. And I felt like I got into this season of like taking, but not enough. And so where I started was in a place of like abundance, right? Always feeling abundant, right? Yeah. And the abundance that I receive is right, my relationship with God. That's where I get the most abundance in my life. No matter what's going on around me, if my relationship with God is strong, then I feel like I can be abundant and give abundantly. And that's where I started, right? Mm-hmm. And then walking through the season of like a lack of abundance, and then walking back into a season of abundance again, I feel like I'm almost restarting with the same fire that I had when I first started right now. And I'm like incredibly excited, because you almost, a lot of times we'll get up to see situations in life and we'll see like a mountain in front of us, right? And a lot of times what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to find the shortcut around or the easy route. And God just brought us to this mountain. He says, I just want you to climb that mountain, as opposed to walking around it or walking through it or whatever it is. And I recorded a podcast about this recently, but a lot of times we'll delay climbing the mountain because we think there's another alternative route, but it always comes back full circle that you just have to climb the mountain anyways.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now, is, you know, living in abundance and focusing on giving more than taking, right? And focusing on how can I serve and impact people. And I feel like in my heart, the best ideas, the best visions, the best opportunities, all of it is going to come from that, being in that abundance state. So how have I come back to your question, or how has my life changed? It's taught me so much about like the youthful, childlike individual perspective of ours when we're young, and we think we have these aspirations and these dreams, right? And we go through our path and we get caught up in ourself, as opposed to being caught up in like the reason I started this, because of the love for the game or the love for the sport or the love for people or whatever it is. We have to continue to carry out why we started it in the first place to be able to get to the next step and season of our life, because we're going to get caught up along the way, right? And I feel like that's the biggest thing that I feel like I've gained and a ton of knowledge. I've read tons of books. I've had tons of experience while building LRX. But what I would say is the biggest lesson and the biggest thing that I've changed over time is just watching myself grow as a human, and also just allowing myself to come back to the reason why I started. All this knowledge is I've grown right individually, but I feel like the biggest thing that I've been able to understand and realize is through that knowledge and growth, you have to continue to maintain your original reason for starting in the first place, and everything else falls into place.
I love it. I love it. And I love what you said about how, you know, God brings us to a mountain, wants us to climb it. You try to go around it, you're always going to have to climb it. It made me think of like the saying about, you know, pray for patience. God's going to give you a scenario where you need to be patient. He's not just going to just like bestow this patience upon you, but he's going to give you opportunity. And yeah, I love what you said about just remembering the why, consistently remembering the why. You know, in terms of the navigation of like the financial piece, I was just having a conversation with a friend about this recently, the kind of like the scarcity mindset that sometimes will plague people, in how, you know, having gratitude for all that you have and like creating space for abundance just brings more abundance. Like, I'm curious to hear more about just your mindset on that specifically, you know, related to finances, sure, but just in general, like generally speaking, how do you maintain this mindset of abundance and gratitude for everything that's happening around you and everything that you're making happen?
So one really good example of this is so when the pandemic happened, there was nothing, right? Like there was, we built our business on events. We still build our business on events currently, but there was like nothing going on, right? And all the events got canceled for the foreseeable future. And it was kind of like adapt or die. Like, you're not going to make it if you don't change your structure. And we ended up launching a campaign that gave back. We ended up raising like $45,000 for the local gym. But the story of that is through that campaign, we had the biggest like 2 months of our business in history, like still to date. Like we went viral with a campaign that we ran. It was called the Back My Gym campaign. This is really when LRX was first starting getting launched off. And the thing about that is, when you actually have real scarcity, you figure it out,
right?
Like actual scarcity, you'll figure it out. So when you start to believe that there's scarcity, when there's absolutely no scarcity, it comes back to our original conversation and the original thought that we were talking about is the fear aspect, right? So you are afraid of failure. So you believe there's no opportunity or no path to take, right? And you tell yourself that there's no path to take because if there was a path to take, then you would be essentially failing without actually trying, right? So if I actually believe, if I told myself that there's nothing here for me, right? So I'd lived in Hawaii for a year, right? And I told myself the whole time that I was living there that I needed to be back on the mainland traveling and building the business and building the brand rather than actually looking at the opportunity that presented itself while being there in the first place, right? And I believed, and I had this scarcity mindset of what this situation was, right? And it goes back to like Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights, and also just the idea of like us as individuals, like having a purpose in alignment with our life and giving any situation purpose and a reason for it to happen and the reason for why it's happening. So often we allow ourselves to have this scarcity mindset because the route that we were talking about, the mountain that we have to climb, looks so incredibly challenging and scary that it almost seems impossible. So we believe it to be scarce. Right? We try every other option that we've tried, maybe have tried the same thing 100 different times in 100 different ways, and we've still yet to figure it out. But then the option is just straightforward. So if we're looking at it from a scarcity mindset perspective, it really just comes down to whether or not, like we said, are you willing to climb that mountain in front of you? If not, you're going to have a scarcity mindset because you believe there's no other routes other than that one.
Yeah, that's powerful. I agree.
Pretty crazy. Right. Yeah. Like it's like there's only one way. And the scarcity mindset is the mindset that tricks us into believing there's nothing when there's absolute abundance in any situation and scenario. But the scarcity mindset tricks us into it because of whether it's, you know, past experiences that we've had, people that have said certain things about us, traumas that we've had, life upbringings, whatever it is, perspectives that are skewed that just need to be reframed. Right? The scarcity mindset is just a negative mindset that needs to be reframed and understanding that there is abundance.
Yeah. Would you say that the only way to do that is to simply like do it? I mean, like climb that mountain in this example, to just say like, screw that. Like I'm going to.
That's the problem, right? The problem is that we live in a world of instant gratification, right? So scarcity, essentially the fact it's the lack of gratification in the short term and the midterm, the moderate term of time, right? Yeah. You have to understand that things that you want in life, it's a short term, midterm, long term. Long term is unknown. It could be 10 years. Right. It could be 20 years until I accomplish the unknown of our life. You see so many examples of this in the Bible, right? But we think that it's supposed to happen tomorrow. It's like, if I'm trying to build my brand on social media, I think that I should be going viral tomorrow. I make one post, I should be going viral tomorrow. And then if you look at the grand scheme of things, it's like, you've actually done hardly anything to try to get to that place you want to go. And it's simply just climbing the mountain. Like that is all you need to do. So you need to climb the mountain. And you need to climb the mountain for the next 15 to 20 years and then look back and expect an outcome and then keep climbing.
Yeah.
Because that's the answer, man.
Yeah. And I think it comes back to like what you said about remembering your why and like why you're doing it. Because I think, you know, a lot of what I think about when it comes to this kind of stuff is related to business and like building a brand. But I also always relate it back to like training for a race. One thing that I've experienced since, you know, stepping away from being an athlete, collegiately speaking, is like when it comes to running like a marathon or whatever, and like you set a time goal, it's like if you don't hit your goal the first time around, like that doesn't mean you just give up on that goal. It's like all the training that you've done up to that point, and even that race that you just ran, like that's part of the process. And like in this context specifically, it's like, yeah, if your goal is to run a sub X time, well then, and that's your why, then like you just keep going until you get that goal. I think it's the same thing, you know, with building a brand or a business. Like I think about the walk-on mentality and like the why to like impact, inspire, empower people to like bet on themselves and live with no limits. It's like, in order for that to occur, like I can't just give up if I don't have some like clear indication that everybody's doing this, right? Like it's not you don't just get like the green light or the thumbs up or the piece of mail that says like, hey, you've done it. It's like, this is a journey really with no end. And I would imagine it's like a similar thing with LRX. It's like this brand's story, the message, like it's so powerful, and it's not something that just like one day you're going to be like, well, I've done it. Like no financial gain, social media following. Like there's nothing I would imagine that is going to happen to you that's going to be like, all right, take off the jacket, hang it up. Like I've done it.
Yeah, man, for sure. I mean, that is exactly what life is. Right. And that's why, like, I was thinking, obviously, like, that makes me think about people that, you know, they're working jobs and then they're eventually like retiring for their jobs. And I personally, like, I don't understand that, because I feel like for me, there's always going to be a vision or a mission. I might change in different iterations of life, but, or do different things, but I'm always going to be trying to provide opportunity for the world to be better, whether that's like writing a book or mentoring other people or consulting or continuing to push forward some type of mission or recording a podcast, whatever it is. I just feel like this is this never ending journey of like producing the best opportunity for whatever it is that you're doing. I was watching one of my buddy's Instagram stories the other day, and he was talking about how you almost have to look at life as if it's a video game, right? Mm-hmm. And you're just trying to beat the next level to get to the next step. And you're just going to keep trying. It's not like you're going to just put down the video game because you can't get past that level. You're eventually going to keep doing it. And I think that you have to treat life the same exact way. And I don't play video games a lot, but I thought it was a great analogy. Like, it's in front of you right now. You're going to keep doing it. You pick it back up and you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. And that's why we like it so much, is because it's addicting. It's the process and the journey of achieving that outcome. And that outcome is so small. It's just that hit of dopamine or that gratification that you get from achieving the journey. But even if you're training for a marathon right now, even if you were to run that time, you're going to go try to run a faster time later.
Right.
So it's like, so it's not like you're going to stop there. It's like, yep, hang up the jacket. I'm good to go. I put up my shoes. I'm never running again. That's not what it's going to be. It's going to be onto the next task. And the preparation that you provide that provided you for that step is going to be the preparation that provides you for the next thing that you're going to achieve. And you just have more knowledge.
Right. Right. I agree. I think it's like, you know, for me, at least when I think of different goals, different things that I am working on, anytime I accomplish or pass a certain milestone, for me, it's like, okay, I could do that. Well, what else can I do? Like, what's next? And I think it's interesting to kind of hear you allude to the person who, you know, is going to retire and like just do nothing at some point. Like, I've never thought about it this way, but it's like, man, I don't want to live a life where I'm like super excited and like basically dying for the work I'm doing to come to an end.
Yeah.
Like, I would much rather be excited about every single day. And like, sure, there's probably parts of the work that we do that we don't necessarily like light up to do, but always knowing that it's part of this like bigger mission and purpose, at least for me, makes even the mundane parts exciting.
Yeah, bro. 100%. I think about that so much. And one thing that I was talking about the idea of like, you know, working and then being around people and then being a little bit like frustrated somebody's not working as hard as you are at something. And I was actually journaling about this morning because I was thinking about, you know, sometimes, so my wife and I work together. She does our like custom activewear business and kind of works with a bunch of gyms and stuff that we work with. And I'm, you know, over Thanksgiving timeframe, I'm like, okay, why are we not emailing or responding back to this individual or whatever it is? You know, we have like 4 days off, right? Mm-hmm. Of four days off, like the 4 work days off.
Right.
And then I was sitting, I was like trying to, I'm like, I'm praying and I'm asking God, like, God, why am I getting so frustrated right now? And I'm trying not to say anything. I'm trying not to say anything. Like, why am I getting angry? And so I sat down and I journaled and I was thinking about, you know, like, why am I angry? And am I justified in being mad or frustrated in this situation? And then I thought, okay, what are the things that I like love about my wife? And the things I love about my wife were like, she loves family. She loves spending time doing things that are outside of work that are like more life-giving and experiences that life gets to have. And that's why I love my wife. Mm-hmm. So then I thought back to like, if I were to try to ask her to change what it is that she's doing, that would actually remove the thing I love about her. So also in the process, in the journey, we have to remember at the same time that just because we love something and that we're really passionate about what it is that we do, somebody else might be passionate about something completely different that doesn't make sense to you, but we have to love and support them in that process at the same time. So like, for example, my wife is excited to, you know, get a house, have more dogs, like have kids, like those types of things. And right. Like, if I didn't have my wife, I would not have a house or dogs or kids. Like, going, you know what I mean? Like, I would be keeping on going, but those are things that I really do love, right?
Right.
So it comes down to the asset. It reminds me of my wife, because she's like, I work to live, right? And I live to work, mm-hmm. right? And that's what I love to do, but she loves to live.
Yeah.
And that is so great, right? Those are that's such a great thing. And it's really truly just about finding whatever it is we live to do.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing that we love to do, no matter what. And it's, there's no right or wrong, or like, you know, Jackson's running a, you know, a marathon and Ryan's doing this, or building an activewear company, or training this, or my wife's doing this, or whatever it is. It's just about encouraging people to align with their life's prescription. And they know that internally, that is God's design for them specifically. So whether it's like working to retire and not liking their job, I don't believe that anybody should be doing that ever, like just working to retire, but it is like, We should be like living our life to live our life the way that we are created and designed to do it, and the what thing that God called us to. Because my wife's probably like a much better friend to her friends than I am in some scenarios, and I get to learn from her, right? Right. Yeah. And I might be good at this. You know what I mean? It's just that for me is, it comes down to like, that's the prescription for life that we're attaining and striving for, is like pushing for what it is that God's called us to in our greatest, you know, ability.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the way you put that. I'm curious. Do you know who Zach Pogrob is? I think is his name.
I don't think so.
So Zach is a phenomenal writer.
Okay.
What he writes a lot about obsession and like the obsessed creator, the obsessed athlete, the obsessed artist. What you just said about your love for the work that you do made me think of this. What do you think about, you know, obsession when it comes to like LRX for you and building this activewear brand that has a bigger mission than just being, you know, dope apparel, but like, how do you balance, or do you balance like having an obsession for your craft, or is it like, no, this is how God designed me to be. And like the way that I operate is such that I'm so heavily invested and leaned into this calling that like I'm obsessed.
Yeah. Such a great question, man. And something that, you know, I think we, and I'm sure you and anybody else that's pursuing a goal, like has struggled or trying to balance. Mm-hmm. Because one of our core values for LRX is seek balance in the way you train, live, and rest. And I struggle with that core value a mm-hmm. lot because I don't believe in balance in some seasons.
Yeah.
Right. Balance is optimal, right? That is an optimal lifestyle, but it is impossible to be balanced when achieving and striving for a goal, mm-hmm. right? So to achieve a goal, the person that is the most obsessed with the outcome of that goal or the work that has to go into achieving that goal is going to be the one that achieves the goal.
That's fire. Achieves
the outcome. It is like, that is the person that's going to win. Right.
Yeah.
And the person that, you know, has like these other things that are distracting them from achieving that goal is not going to be there faster. And I think that you have to understand that like a life in balance is optimal, and it's probably more of a prescription for our life that God's given us, right? Because if we are living in a quote unquote obsessed world, we are probably leaning towards idolatry of the thing that we're seeking, right?
That's powerful.
But I think that sometimes we have to be obsessed for things to receive the outcome that we want to have the impact that we want to have as a result of it. And the platforms that get to be developed by obsessing over the outcome of something provides a greater good than if we were to just sit back and not seek our greatest potential. I think in the end result, it provides a greater good and a greater opportunity because it means more people are able to be impacted by the work and the effort that we put in. And I think the stories that we look back over history and time, and the people that we remember the most are the people that were obsessed about whatever it is that they were doing.
Dude. Oh, I think you're so right. I mean, I came across Zach relatively recently and reading some of his stuff, I just was like, man, like this is powerful and this is hitting home and I'm like really resonating with it. I love what you just said about if you're too obsessed for too long, it can kind of like get close to idolatry. That's powerful. And I think in different seasons, I think I've had maybe a little bit of an unhealthy obsession with certain things. Specifically with training, like I'll just call it what it is. I love to train. I love to push. I love to test the limits of like my physical body. Like I love doing that. And I think, but I do think 100% when you put those things in the wrong order on your priority list, it can get hairy. But you're so right, dude. And this has been on my mind lately too, of like the people who, you know, everyone has a different definition of success. The people who I think about who have been highly successful in their fields, they've been laser focused on their craft. Kobe Bryant, LeBron yep. James, MJ. Yep. I mean, these dudes, like Kobe really is the number one person who sticks out in my mind. I'll never forget a few years ago, I read this article by Kobe, and I think it was called like About 4 a.m. And he was talking about how he would get up and like be in the gym at 4 a.m., you know, all year round, because in the off season, he was able to get three workouts in a day or four workouts in a day when all his competition was getting in two or three max. And so when you compound that over a summer, he's worked out, you know, countless hours more than everybody else in his field. And there's a reason why he was the kind of player he was. It's not because he was, you know, sleep until nine and like rolling out of bed, taking his time. It was because he was like, he was on a schedule and he was obsessed with his craft. And now, you know, rest his soul, but like the impact that he's had on athletes, business people, you name it, like is profound.
100%.
So yeah, I love what you said.
Yeah. Well, I think about it from a standpoint of like going to battle, right? Like if I was going to, be in the military, right? Mm-hmm. I have to have a reason to go overseas and go to battle for my country. There's like an innate reason. And the risk that you're taking is your life. Mm-hmm. Like that is the realest example, mm-hmm. right? And it's the same thing it's you know, a representation of working and seeking to achieve, right? The reason that they're doing that, right, to serve us and to serve our country is to help somebody else. Right. That's the reason.
Right.
Right. They're not going there for themselves or their own pride or, you know, there might be circumstances or situations in which that's happening, but that's the problem with achieving a goal with the perspective that it's for self.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing it just for you, you will wreck everything along the way to get there. That's the difference. You can either be a wreck ball along the way, or you can be like a freaking light as you're seeking to achieve that goal along the way. Which one's better? They might both get there, mm-hmm. right? You might both get to the outcome, right? One will be a wrecking ball, one will be a light. And you can see very great situations and you can see very great like representations of this with professional athletes that have like looked to achieve the greatest abilities along the way, mm-hmm. right? Whether that's professional athletes that, you know, have had affairs or, you know, drug and alcohol abuse or whatever it is along the way, right? They're still going there, but it depends on why you're going to do that. And that comes back to what we you know, did this in the first place. We said in the first place, it's like, it's all about the why along the way. Right. And if you have that in alignment, then you're golden. Right. If I'm going to achieve the greatest goal, right, I know right now in my heart of hearts that something that is incredibly important to God, incredibly important to my life is my marriage and my relationship with my wife.
Right.
Right. So if I'm along that path and I am not aligning with my wife along that path and that journey that I'm taking right now, mm-hmm. then it will be a wrecking ball. It will ruin my marriage in the future. My kids will hate me, right? I'm gonna have terrible relationships. And that's the foundation, right? If we can allow our foundation to be rooted in the why that we do it, everything else will fall into place, right? You'll be looked at as, Jackson, you're the hardest worker I've ever seen, right? As opposed to the biggest jerk I've ever met, right? That's the difference, right?
Right.
And you can fall into that other category so quickly if you don't have yourself in alignment. And the more that you work for something, the more eyes that you have on you, and the more people are just waiting to say something negative about you.
Right.
Right. Along that path. But if you're putting yourself in the right circumstances, the right situations, and you're doing it for the right reason, then you're going to be okay.
Right. Like the discussion should be, you know, Ryan worked incredibly hard. He loved his wife. He served his community. He also, you know, built this dope activewear brand, like, you know, all in alignment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I've been in situations where I've wavered into the other category and in different seasons, and it doesn't feel good. Mm. You're wandering aimlessly because your why is not in alignment, right? It could be like, okay, my why is to build this business. No, my why is to create impact for generations to come and to help other people live a higher quality of life, right? Yeah. That's where we have to make sure that we have alignment with what it is that we're doing.
Yeah, I love it. So, you know, you mentioned your wife a handful of times now, and I love the story, and I'd just be curious to dive deeper into it. Like, so you started LRX, and at the time you were single, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, you know, fast forward a few years in, you're moving to Hawaii. So mm-hmm. very, you know, different scenarios, different points in time, but I'd love to just hear more about, you know, the actual journey of building LRX and, you know, what it was like the first couple of years. And then kind of to your point, like there was something that occurred that said, all right, I'm going to Hawaii, and it was something big. Yeah. And
yeah,
I would just love to hear you talk more about that.
Yeah. So it's a good story because it kind of aligns with what we talked about earlier in terms of like the mountain to climb and trying to find other ways around it. Mm-hmm. Cause this happens over and over to go over again in my life and many others, many other people's lives. We all run into it, but, I started my company on fire, you know, building this mission and vision, you know, still having this void of like wanting to be married and find a wife, right? Like I'm mm-hmm. a Christian guy, you know, wanting to be married was a huge, huge thing for me. So I actually met my wife through my business. And up until that point, I felt like I was pretty in alignment mm-hmm. With what I was going to do. And we dated through the pandemic, right through that time where we had kind of like a viral campaign go off. And we broke up probably a month and a half, 2 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got caught up in that along the way. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would say that I was caught up. I broke up with her and I had intention of marrying her. Like we had talked about it. We were only dating for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the girl for me. I'm going to marry her. Right. And I felt like there's a lot of things that I like declared in my life. One thing that I feel like happens is like God gives me a thought and like that thought is I'm making sure that comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was like one of the things that like happened that I thought was going to happen that didn't happen. And I was kind of like questioning like my ability to be in tune with what God was saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, that's the only thing that like really didn't happen that I really felt like was going to happen. And it just didn't happen. And so we broke up and we were broken up for about probably a year and a half to 2 years. And during that time, I was chasing, you know, this thing. I was building LRX, building the company. And that was the time where I felt like I was kind of letting the message fall through the cracks. And I was kind of getting into this, and not in a really bad way, but just getting into this mindset of like trying to make more money, trying to build the company, you know, trying to put, you know, like a square peg in a round hole or whatever that saying is, right?
Right.
Like, and then I got to this period of time where my wife, I had heard that she was moving to Hawaii. And she happened to be in town. I was in Columbus. Oh, I was living in Columbus, Ohio, and I was in town for a bit. And pretty much up until that point, I was pretty much just traveling the country, driving around, meeting new people, building relationships, building the company, stuff like that. Business was going really, really well. And she was moving. I basically just, I hit her up. We had a storefront in a mall here in like Easton, in Columbus, Ohio. I'm at a nice mall, and she had stopped through, sent me a picture of a sign that she had made for me when we were dating that said Live Prescribed on it. And she said, this sign looks nice here, cool, like cool shop. And I was like, okay, sick. Like she said, hey, you know, she said, what's up? And I was like, and then I texted and I said, what are you doing in town? She's like, I'm visiting a friend. And I said, the next morning our text had carried over. I messaged her on Facebook because I think I blocked her on Instagram and we weren't texting or whatever, but, or I unfollowed her or whatever. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah. But
messaged her on Facebook the next morning. And I was just like, what are you doing this morning? And she's like, I'm getting ready to go to one church, which is a church that we watched during the pandemic together. And I was like, oh, no way. Like I'm on my way there. You want to sit together? And we sat together. She walked in. I like gave her a hug after like not like talking to her. Like I'd see her at large events and cause she worked for another fitness company and I wouldn't even really talk to her. And I like gave her a hug. She came in. She's like, she was kind of thinking like, what the heck?
Yeah.
After she told me, and then we went to lunch and then we got coffee and then we got another cup of coffee, the same day.
All in the same like, day.
All in the same day. It was like,
you're caffeinated, like, buzzing.
Yeah. It was like lunch, coffee. And then we sat for a while and we're like, tried another coffee shop. And I was like, I want to get back together with you. And up until that point, I had no clues. It wasn't even on my radar. It was just that day.
Right.
And like, I'm moving to Hawaii in like 2 months. And I was like, all right. So that night I'm kissing her, we got back together. And it was, we didn't get together that day, but like we were definitely walking towards that. And then She moved to Hawaii. We did long distance for a year. And I would say that it took me up until like a week before my marriage or my wedding to convince her that I wasn't going to leave and that I wasn't going to leave her again. So we got married and then I had moved to Hawaii prior to that. And I lived in Hawaii for about a year and then moved back. And now we're here. But it's the same thing. You climb the mountain, right? The reason I broke up with her in the first place was because of my own insecurity, my own fear. That was the mountain that I needed to climb. The mountain was in front of me. I had to overcome that insecurity and fear of being married because my parents got a divorce. A lot of things recall with that. And that was the mountain that I needed to climb. Mm-hmm. And so I delayed a few days to climb the mountain. So in that, I moved to Hawaii, which is a great experience for life. But I also was away from building my business for a period of time. Right. So the time that I took off from her and our relationship was the time that I lived in Hawaii. That was basically filling the gaps of time that I needed to invest in my marriage and invest in my relationship with her to follow through and fill up for the time that I had put that on the side and put that on the back burner, which was really important. Yeah. So I delayed obedience to taking the step and doing the thing I needed to do. And I had to climb the mountain no matter what.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Wow.
Things came full circle and now we're married. And, it always comes down to that. It's just climbing the mountain the first chance you see it and not trying to find another way around it when you know that that's the right answer. It's like the door in the corner that's like glowing gold and it's like right there and you know you need to go in that door, but then you go in another door because you're like, there has to be another way. there's never another way. It's like it's that door, like that is the door. It's literally there. It says take this door, walk in that door, and then we just don't do it,
right?
We know we need to go there and we just try to find another way.
Yeah.
And there is no other.
And that and hallway,
learned through everything.
Yeah. That hallway that you took was just a hallway that wrapped back around into that like corridor with all the doors and forced you right back to that gold door. And dude, I love that story. I mean, that's amazing. And, it's like, you know, I'm sure like in one part of your mind, there's a chance that you're like, oh man, like, wish I would have just walked through that gold door. But at the same time, there's probably this part that's like, maybe even a bigger part that's like, man, I got to live with my wife in Hawaii for a year. And like, I can only imagine the incredible hikes and like just quality time, you two being on the island. Like, that's just incredible.
Well, the beauty about that, man, is it's like God and his grace,
right? Yeah, dude.
Huh. It's God's grace. For me not making the right decision originally and him showing his grace through that circumstance, that the outcome of living in alignment with God's intention for your life and making the decision and walking through the right door is like, actually, it's just, here's my grace. And I'm that much better because you could have made the decision before and I'm going to give you a better circumstance. So if you just freaking walk through that door right now, like there it is, it's right there in front of you and you better be ready for it. Right? Because it's going to happen in front of you and you have to believe it.
Dude, this is so powerful. I'm like,
yeah, it's wild, man.
This is great.
And it's cool because I'm realizing some things right now as we're talking about this because it's like super cool, man.
Yeah.
And now my wife and I, we're moving to West Virginia for a little bit, which is also funny because I'd rather be living in Florida or somewhere else. And I spent most of the time in Hawaii, like frustrated about certain circumstances, like not being able to be back on the mainland, building the business, stuff like that. So God said, because you didn't take that opportunity, I'm going to just move you to West Virginia for a little bit. And you're going to have to learn it anyways. Right. So it's the same situation again. So I'm just telling you right now, you got to walk through the door. Like, that's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, it's like walk through the door and also just like a reminder to be like present and like have gratitude for literally every single moment. I mean, 100%, bro. One of the biggest things I think I've learned in 2023 is that like, no matter what, whether an experience you're currently having seems negative, positive, whatever, like there's goodness in every experience. Like there really is. And I don't, you know, you can't convince me otherwise. I'm sure somebody listening is probably thinking like, oh, what about this? And like, yeah, okay. But really, like, no matter what, you can find the positive in every situation. I really believe that. So yeah, I don't know.
100%, man.
So now, you know, with where you're at with LRX, you know, what are kind of the, what are the big focal points now? And like with this new recharged alignment, you know, really walking the path and being on the path and just like finding the joy in everything. Like, what are the big things on the horizon? I mean, I know there's a lot.
Yeah, man. So, business wise, we're focusing on right now, we're rebuilding our product line and just focusing on technical products, and just building a really solid line of technical products, which takes a lot of money, and takes a lot of time. So being patient through that process, and just doing the things that I know I need to do to be successful there personally, and fitness wise, I feel like part of my passion, my passion is fitness. I'm a really solid athlete. I spent more time focusing on the business in the past year or two than I have on my fitness. So I'm kind of revitalizing that right now. I'm currently training for a half marathon, which the intention to do a full marathon after the half marathon, and also training for a High Rocks with one of my buddies.
Let's go.
That we're doing in Washington, DC. He actually is a High Rocks world champion. I don't know if it's in his age group or what. I'll send you his Instagram.
Yeah.
His name's Taylor Haney. He's really fit, a couple of years older than me, but we're going to be hopefully doing that together. We're going to lock that in. So really just focusing on training again, personally, and making that a huge priority, because I think that, that's incredibly important and something that I've, you know, told myself I wasn't able to do because I was building a business. Not that I wasn't training and working out. I work out all the time, but like making that more of a priority. Yeah. It's again, the reason I said that was because of my fear of my ability physically. Right. So I'm going to be training and putting my effort into that. And I think the biggest, most important thing is just to sign up for something, because it's accountability for the outcome. So, signing up for something and then putting more things on the board, hopefully like 3 or 4 times a year, doing some type of test, and training and putting the effort to the work instead of just training to train. So, that's what I'm focusing on there. And then right now, my wife and I are going to be living in West Virginia, saving money, to buy a house and, wherever God calls us. So we're just gonna be traveling around, checking some places out, seeing where we want to live. And then just continue to build the business and be close to our team, right now, which is they're in Columbus, Ohio, most of them are, and doing those things. So really just kind of business revitalizing the product line, building more personal content alongside of the training things that I'm going to be doing as well, and just pushing into where I feel like God's calling me right now and trying to walk through the door as much as I can.
Dude, I love that answer, because, you know, I asked what's on the horizon for LRX, and you said, you hit on every category. You hit on the business, you hit on personal, you hit on your relationships. Like, in my belief is that they're all, it's all one, like integrated, aligned, like all of those things are working in tandem to, you know, truly live prescribed. And so I really appreciate how you answered that question.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, the thing, like I said, like you have to have things in alignment, and I don't want to be to not be a wrecking ball, right? It's to be a light along the way, and just to be intentional, and share the things that are challenging along the journey, along the route to the things that you're trying to do. And I think that, you know, there's been times where I've, you know, tried to tell myself that I had it together, and like the only times I have it together is when I do have that alignment, while still seeking the goal,
you know,
and that's where I'll be the most clear in my direction when I'm doing that, because everything else just muddies the water.
Yeah. Can you be a wrecking light?
I sure hope so.
I love it.
Yeah, bro. I think you definitely can, bro. I mean, like you, I don't know if that was a real question, but I'll go into it.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you definitely can, because I think that is where you are in the most opportunistic route for success of the goal that you want to have.
I think so too.
It's just the balance of the two, man. And I'm going to keep believing that, because I really hope it's true.
Yeah. I'm with you. Well, dude, did I don't always ask this, but like, I've just enjoyed this so much. Is there anything that you want to hit on that I didn't ask you, or like, is there anything that I'm missing?
No, bro, not specifically. I think the conversation was great. I just think like the more that we can develop, I think this is so important. The more that we can develop, you know, conversations around topics like these that provide accountability and growth in our life, and the more we can multiply that to more and more people, like literally all over the place. And I think that starts with us men doing that more, to be honest, because I think that, you know, men, as men, we're called to be in leadership positions. Like biblically, we're called to be leaders. And that's something that I've been thinking about quite a bit recently. It's just, what is the thing that God's calling me up to and into, right? And one thing that we can be so tempted in believing along the journey, and that I have been tempted to believing along the journey, is that there isn't anybody else out there like me.
Right.
Right. But it's so untrue. Like, this conversation is such a representation of that. And I think if there's anything that I would just want to tell people, is that you with somebody else multiplying the goal and the aspiration that you have, and having the accountability to doing it in alignment with what it is that your life's called to, there's nothing that can stop you along the way. Like, you literally cannot be stopped. It's impossible, because the world needs people to be doing that, specifically men, to be leading and growing and becoming better every single day and growing to impact the world. And if we can do that together, we can leave the world a better place together. I think that we're just going to see the world around us that we see and get frustrated by from time to time and day to day just become better. And that's where it starts, is with us.
Yeah.
Right.
100%. So, I mean, you may have just answered this, but like my final question is always, you know, what piece of advice would you leave the audience with?
Yeah, that would be, you know, a piece of advice. I think if you don't have a source of faith and confidence in something outside of yourself, then you're going to be lost and running in a bunch of different directions. And even when you have faith or something outside of yourself, you still may be at times running in a bunch of different directions. But again, if you come back to that door in the corner that's just shining over there, and you walk through the door that you know you need to walk through, then everything's going to be okay. But the first step that you need to take is understand that there is something outside of yourself that is just begging you to it and wants you to align with it. And once you find that, I truly believe that the things we talk about and the things we want to accomplish, the things we want to do, then we are literally like unstoppable in our life for what it is that we're supposed to accomplish. You know, come back to, you know, the Instagram story you shared last night of Andrew Huberman sharing a word, right? Yes. Like, that fired me up so much, right? And a man of that caliber, like, sharing that, right? He's been going off on, like, is wild. And I think that just comes back to the fact that, like, there's a fact in the world, and if there's a fact that cannot be denied, and you have to find it.
Yes, dude. The video fired me up, and I'll send you this other video that it will fire you up as well. It's kind of funny, but, you know, my girlfriend and I were talking about that video, and she just asked, you know, what do you think the reason is why people are like going so crazy about it? And I literally said, or I don't know if I said this to her, or this was my thought when I, after thinking about it for a minute, but I think it's because, to your point, like, again, if I look back on like all the people who've reached success in my mind, or the people who are like respected, there's something driving them, and it's not just them. So I think when I saw Huberman share that, I was like, oh, okay. This guy's the optimization king. Now I know why.
Yeah, for sure, bro. 100%. And I think, you know, in James, the Bible says, we ask God first, and God will give you wisdom. If you ask in confident faith, he'd provide it. And the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, right? Like, it's the same thing. Like, that is, you ask for wisdom. God says the door's in the corner, walk through it. If you don't, you're like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind.
Right.
Right. And like, that goes for all of us. And every single time that I've asked God for wisdom in my life, God has undoubtedly given me the wisdom I needed to face the challenge in front of me.
100%.
Like every single time. And when, you know, Andrew Huberman shared that aspect on prayer, it's the same thing, right? He's like, in it, and he's like, and it works. That, and I was just like, okay, yeah.
Is that come simple?
On. It's that simple. And that was speaking to me because it's a fact. It works.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. You know? So that's my biggest encouragement. And I've wavered from that in my life, and it doesn't work without it.
No doubt. Well, dude, yeah. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and your time. This has been awesome.
Yeah, bro. Fire me up, man. I'm ready for the week.
Let's go. And to the audience, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Walk On Mentality podcast. And we will see you on the next one.